Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Tuesday. Welcome to the show. As you know, you can reach us during the show at 312-981-7200. Hi, Wendy.
Top of the morning to you, Billy. Did you request this song? Because I know you like it.
This is one of those songs that gets me going. You have songs like that?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's my get me going list.
You're going right now?
Yeah, right now I'm going. Can't you tell?
Yes.
Yeah. I would think you, after all these years, you can tell when I'm going and when I'm not going. And I'm going. And this song is responsible for my going.
Oh, my God.
Steve Bertrand brought up something interesting. Steve, are you nearby?
I'm always close to you, Bill.
Steve, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Steve went shopping, and he needed something kind of basic. I'll let him tell you. I don't know if you know this or not, but Steve, explain to Wendy what the ordeal you went through.
So I went to the hardware store over the weekend because, you know, it's been so much rain, and my backyard floods. It didn't have a rain gauge, so I went and went to the kid at the hardware store. Probably 17, 18 years old. And I said, hey, where are your rain gauges? And he kind of looked at me with a...
No idea.
He kind of had a grin on his face like he knew. He goes, and what does a rain gauge do?
Okay, first of all, that's a dumb question because he should have figured out what a rain gauge did.
Almost kind of based on the name, right? Because it's got rain and gauge in it. So there's your clues, right? I don't know how you could illustrate a product more than that.
I would perhaps...
Where are your rain measurers?
Right.
I'm sure they have rain barrels, because those are the big new thing now.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing.
But he still should have deduced that it's...
Right.
And I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think it shows how our language changes.
Was he embarrassed to not know what it is or where it was?
He just kind of had a sly grin on his face, like, I know I should probably know what that is, but he had no idea.
2 years ago, I did some late night shopping, and one of the things I needed was grapefruit juice. And I don't know what's happened in the world of grapefruit juice, but it used to be plentiful. It was always right next to the orange juice, and there were three or four different varieties. But now, for some reason, it's not as plentiful. It's still there, but it's not like it used to be, where it was front and center right next to the orange juice. So I didn't see any.
People started tasting it. Maybe that's it.
I didn't see Tropicana. I didn't see Florida Natural. I didn't see whatever the local brand was. So I stopped the guy and I said, I need grapefruit juice, but you don't have any. He goes, oh, we got a lot of it. I go, because I don't see it. Come on with me. And he motions me over and he takes me to the grape juice.
The Welch's, yeah.
The Welch's. And I said, no, that's not grapefruit juice at all. And he goes, yes, it is. I go, no, it's not.
Grape is a fruit.
He pointed at the word grape on there and he goes, this is what you're asking me for. And here it is.
Many years ago, I had to buy an athletic supporter for one of my boys, and
Why are you winking?
I always bought it for both of my boys.
Why did you wink when you said that?
I didn't. Shut up. God, Bertrand. He should be on the stream with us.
He's crazy.
All right, that was pretty
crazy.
Good. That was honestly, you can go home now.
You're done,
Steve. Top that. So I went to a drugstore and said, do you have any athletic supporters? And I asked the pharmacist. It wasn't the pharmacist. It was some guy working there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he says, you know, aisle 4. So I go there and it's all Dr. Scholl's stuff.
Yeah.
And I go back and I said, athletic supporter. And he goes, yeah, the Dr. Scholl's inserts, you know. I said, a jock strap. Oh.
Now he's on board.
And then he didn't know. So then it's like... There's a customer who needs a job. Like, please shut up.
Well, they don't really sell those very much anymore.
They have them, like, with the ace bandages and stuff.
Right.
What has supplanted it, Steve? Is there a new product that's taken over?
It's like the Lycra underwear.
Oh, I guess so.
Like,
yeah, I guess.
The tight compressor shorts.
Yeah, I guess. Well, so this was many years ago.
Yeah. My son wears... Well, I won't say that.
Yeah.
It may be too late.
Yeah, he wears those.
Oh, I didn't realize that took over the role of...
They don't wear jock straps anymore.
Oh.
Most people...
I bet they still have them.
I bet you they need
them. I'm going to buy you one, Bill.
Little leaguers, probably.
Maybe, for Christmas. But my point is, in all of these stories... You would almost think that somebody who works at a particular store would be well-versed on the items that they have. None of the things we've just described are incredibly outrageous. Oh, I've never heard of that. I knew what a rain gauge was.
And you've never owned one.
I've never owned one. I do no gardening. I know what that is.
But that, if you work at a hardware store, there are so many items there that that might be difficult.
It's amazing.
But Steve, you had another incident when you went into a place to get something for your shoes, too. Didn't you ask for something?
Oh, yeah. Last night, I went to a place and I asked for a shoe tree. I said, where are your shoe trees?
And the guy said,
well, we don't really sell shoe trees.
But he knew what it was, right? Didn't he?
Kind of, yeah.
But not sure.
Right.
You guys still use shoe trees?
Well, that's my point. It's just, I think it's more, it's just the way things change. You know, I'm the older guy now asking for the grapefruit juice.
It's like Fred McMurray and my three sons would use with his tapping of his shoes.
No, but a shoe tree, I refer to a shoe tree as what you hang your shoes on, you know, like a...
It goes on the back of a door.
Right. Or on
the
floor.
You could mount it anywhere you want.
Now, what do you call the things that you put inside a shoe, like to keep the form? No, isn't that a shoe tree?
So this is the thing that's shaped kind of like your foot,
and
you put it in,
out
and then
a
you push down on a top part.
Yes. They don't make those anymore.
I don't know
sure.
that they make those anymore.
We're officially old, aren't we?
My dad must have had 50 of them.
I'll talk to him. Maybe he'll sell some.
I don't know. What was ever the real function of those? Like, they would stretch them out when you first bought the shoe? Or
no. To keep your shoe looking...
In the shape that it should be.
But like, did it get out of shape if it was just sitting around without your foot in it?
Yeah, sometimes, like, dress shoes mainly. If, you know, you throw them in a closet and you don't take care of them, they can... It just keeps them fresh and shaped nicely.
Right, right.
They should have one of those for a bra.
No, because I think people would buy them for different reasons.
All right.
I think weird people would just buy them up. You wouldn't be able to get them. When I was a kid, we would get shoe polish on a fairly regular basis, right? I haven't bought shoe polish, honestly, in 40 years.
I buy, you buy a color for life now.
Yes.
Oh, I got my black.
Yeah.
Well, they actually, from the Today Show, they're looking for your old bras. Steve and Bill, you don't apply to
is
this.
Is Matt
but
Lauer
Mary...
still working there?
That was
accurate.
Too soon.
It wasn't really too soon at all. I don't know what to do with you. You are going. You got going today.
I told you.
A couple of animal and wildlife rescue groups that help treat injured turtles are asking for bra clasps, which can be used to repair the damaged shells.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that adorable? The clasps, not the cups. See,
right.
Originally I thought the cup part
it's the clasp.
Yes. It's completely, last Tuesday, the Wild Thunder Wildlife and Animal Rehab and Sanctuary in Iowa posted a photo and message on Facebook asking for the hooks. The post went viral, tens of thousands of shares, and people promised to send the bra clasps from around the country. I don't know how I see how they do it. They glue the clasps onto the shell, and then they use a string to kind of hold it together.
Oh, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Who thought of that?
It may seem like an odd first aid tool. It's not as uncommon as one might expect.
Well, how many can they need?
Right.
Are there thousands of turtles with fractured shells?
I don't know.
Steve's point is a valid point.
I don't know.
And the turtles always look embarrassed.
Right.
Again, I thought it was the cup part because you think the injured shell.
Right.
It's
that
like,
would make sense.
Put a little push-up cup.
Does it kind of look like a turtle then who wears a girdle?
Kind of.
That was a Dr. Seuss book when I was little. The turtle and the girdle.
Well, my sister's nickname is Myrtle, so we used to call her Myrtle the Turtle, who wore a girdle.
If anyone else has these weird things that happened to us with the athletic supporter, I didn't want to just go walk in and say, do you have a jock strap?
Where are your jock straps? Yeah, that's a bad opener.
Are we going to make this no makeup day tomorrow a national thing or just among the three of us?
What?
That's a separate issue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, we'll come back. We'll discuss this further. Stick around, everybody.
We have to stay here because we have an EAS test.
Oh, is that today?
And send your bra clasps because it will help the test.
Yes, it always does.
I want to know if there are other things you're looking for that makes you sound like an old fuddy-duddy when you're asking for them. 312-981-7200. Wouldn't you want to hear some other things?
I would love
things?
To hear those. And if you could, if you also have a story about going into a particular store where you think, well, they'll know what I'm talking about.
That's what I mean.
That's what the store is. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I just, you know, usually you'd know your inventory, but like I said, a hardware store, there are so many different things that they have.
With a hardware store, I'm almost willing to give away, but if you're in the business of selling groceries, you should at some point learn the difference between grapefruit and grapes.
They're
both fruit, but that's it. That's where the comparison ends.
They just were
How do you
hearing,
not know that?
Because they just heard grape and tuned you out. You know, the short attention span.
That's what it is. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I think that would be it. All right, we have to vamp for how long, Jasmine? Like 2 minutes? Yeah. Oh, come on. Can't we just take a quick break and come back?
Can we explain what Steve was talking about with no makeup day? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, but you know, Bertrand, I guess I didn't officially say not for air.
You did not. Well, you did not.
Well, no, we don't have to talk about all of it. Just I thought that just that we don't have to talk about any of it.
Now you have
my only point was about none of us is going to wear makeup tomorrow, not about anything else.
And that doesn't need any kind of explanation.
Wendy's going in for a test.
I'm going to get a skin screening.
Yes.
I'm going to a dermatologist, yes. And I feel really weird because I had to take my toenail polish off and my nail polish off. They scan you with like a little spelunkers thing, I think.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know if it's UV light or something where, you know, something looks cancerous, it stands out to them, and you pretty much have to just lay naked and let them, you know, look you over
like you do in the office after the show.
And they said, make sure you don't have any makeup on. And I said, I really don't go out without makeup.
Right.
I said, I have a lot of broken capillaries on my face.
Yeah.
I'm kind of blotchy. I have to wear mascara because my eyelashes are short and blonde, and I look like James Spader.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
I just said, in support of you, Bill and I would pledge not to wear makeup tomorrow either.
Tomorrow, none of us will wear makeup.
That doesn't correlate because I have makeup on at work. I'm going to go home before my appointment and take it off. Then I'm going to put my glasses on.
Right.
To hide.
Well, but so for you to show support for us showing support for you, you should not wear your makeup tomorrow.
None of us will wear it.
Right. Tomorrow will be the day.
It's harder for Steve and me because we're in a Kiss tribute band and we have a show after our show tomorrow. We're in a Kiss tribute band called Smooch.
It's going to be a big reveal.
I wouldn't do it, Wendy.
I'm not doing it. Making my plans for me.
No way.
We're helping.
I don't go anywhere without that.
You wear makeup, Mary? You look great without makeup.
I didn't think you wore makeup.
After being here since 4:30 in the morning, I look pretty bad this hour. Yes, I do.
Very good, and your makeup is very natural. So, I like to look like a gun moll, as my mom used to call me. I didn't even know what that was.
Wow.
I thought she was saying a gun mouth, and I thought I do swear a lot. Maybe that's it.
So you go to the Great Outdoor Store and ask for a gun moll.
Try that.
The kid won't know what it is.
Right. It'll be very confusing.
But I just like dark eyes.
Yeah.
Because I don't
They're
have
beautiful.
Them.
Beautiful.
So tomorrow's the day.
Stand by for the test. Get your bra clasps ready.
Ready.
If it's an emergency, you'll know. Stand by. Number two pencils, get them ready. Pencils down. Pencils down. Put
I'm
them
done.
Down.
I'm done.
All right, you're out of time.
I was in the middle of an answer.
All right, now can we take a break? We'll take a quick break, and if you have any items that you were looking for at a store that the person working there was like, huh?
What's that?
312-981-7200. I'm wearing makeup today and tomorrow, just so you know.
Thanks.
There you go. The recent rain. Oh, I don't have to read this here yet, so stand by. We're talking about a rain gauge. The recent rain has caused Steve Bertrand to want to get a rain gauge. And the kid at the store, was he a kid? He didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, he was a young kid. I don't fault him at all, really.
All right.
I thought it was kind of funny.
It is funny, and there are a lot of things. Hi, Chris.
Hey.
What happened to you?
Okay, go to a big box hardware store, asked for tacky cloth. I was sanding doors down. The guy looked at me, goes, I don't know what that is. I said, you know, the cloth that's sticky, that you wipe the extra sand off your doors when you're sanding them. He goes, no such thing.
I don't know what that is.
I get in the car. I called my brother. I said, what am I asking for? Why is it, you know, he doesn't know what I'm talking. He goes, well, it's called tack cloth. I go, well, I said tacky cloth. He goes, he should have known.
Yeah.
Went to the next big store, and the guy was like, oh, sure, right here.
All right, I don't know what that is.
It's just cheesecloth with, like, wax on it. So when you're sanding something, you can wipe down the extra sand instead of vacuuming it.
Ooh, I like that.
But I said tacky instead of tack.
You still should have known.
And I explained what it was.
All right, well, that's a good one, Chris. There's an echo. I apologize for that.
If you're off by one syllable, you would almost think somebody working in a store like that would be able to decipher it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and they'd probably make you feel bad by going, oh, do you mean tack cloth?
Yeah.
All right, this is Keith. Hi, Keith. What were you looking for?
I was in a grocery store, and I asked a young clerk where I could find the Worcestershire sauce, and she had no idea what I was talking about. And I ended up asking two other young clerks about, you know, Worcestershire sauce, and neither one of them knew what I was talking about. So anyway, I said, is there someone here that's over 40?
Who's had a Bloody Mary?
So they called somebody, and sure enough, a clerk came over, and she was about 50, and I asked her about Worcestershire sauce, and she knew exactly what I was talking about and took me right to it.
That's good to know.
Young people didn't know what it was.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you
calling. That's not exotic. That's not the kind of thing that you go, wow.
It's been around.
Look at you with the Worcestershire sauce. Wow.
I did ask for a lint trap and I know they have them at my grocery store. And yeah. I asked a young kid, I said, do you have a lint trap? Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
For the dryer?
The dryer. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't have any idea. None whatsoever.
So who do we blame this on? The fact that wherever you go to shop for a product, the people working there don't know. Whose fault is that?
It's just, you know, the way. I think we were more hands-on. My kids wouldn't know what a lint trap is.
Yeah.
They've never changed it.
But if they worked in a store, they probably would, right?
It can't be
the first time anyone's ever asked for one, right?
Yeah, that's a good point, Bill. Diana's on the line. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Wendy. Years ago, I went to buy a Father's Day gift for my dad, who likes good music, and I went into some record store, and I asked the young clerk where I would find the Merry Widow, and he asked me if that was the name of the group. He didn't know that was an operetta. He had never heard of the Merry Widow, and I thought, well, that's a real popular one.
You should have said it's a torture device. Where are they? Yeah. I need one.
Diane, did you ever find it?
Yes, once I told him it was an operetta, then he brought somebody else over and they knew where it was.
Well, perfect. Glad you found it. And finally, Sarah has something she was looking for. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. So this isn't at a store, but when I was in my early 20s, I was driving and I had a tire that was, it blew out on a busy street. And I was terrified, and I had just seen that Zodiac movie. So anybody who was trying to help me, I shoot away. and then I called AAA. I remembered my parents had got that for me, and they were asking me if I had a donut in my car. So maybe I'm the dumb one in this scenario. But I didn't know what a donut was, and I didn't understand why she's asking me if I have a donut when I'm trying to just get my car fixed. And then she told me that it depends if, you know, we need to know this because otherwise we'll tow you versus just fix you there. And I was like, I thought I was being pranked.
And it's just a temporary tire, correct? A small...
Well, she told me that I said, if there's a donut in my car, I would know it. And she said, well, there's a hatch in your trunk, and if you lift it, that's where the donut is.
Oh,
and I'm on this busy road, and I'm
trying not
like,
to be killed.
A deer in headlights. And I'm like thinking that I'm looking for this donut, and I'm cursing myself that I'm even entertaining.
Oh my God.
Why I'm doing this. And then I said, there's a small tire. And she's like, well, that's what it is. But she just knew. She knew I was an idiot, and she just let me go.
Yeah, she did.
Nothing to help you at
all.
Because
she could have said right at the beginning
not
what it was.
That would have just saved me so much embarrassment. And then she had the nerve to ask me what size my lug nuts were.
Wow.
And I just about hung up and said, forget it. I'll just walk home.
Sarah, thank you so much. That is so funny. Have a great one.
Very funny.
All right, you read that. We'll take a break. We'll do some news, and we're all here for you today.
Steve, thanks. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. 312-981-7200. That's your way in. You can text us or call us there. The show started out, we were all telling stories about going into a store to buy a particular item, And then when you ask the person working at the store, the salesman or the saleswoman, they have no idea what you're talking about. It's very frustrating.
We have a couple of texts that I'm befuddled with. Shoelaces. No one knew that you could buy them separately from the shoe at the store I was
in. Seriously?
That's amazing to me. What, do you just throw the shoe out when the lace breaks?
Right. They've always sold them separately. And this was at a shoe store?
No, I bet it was at a... It doesn't say.
Just like an all-purpose store?
Yes. Somebody said, last winter I went into a department store looking for cords.
Now, that could... Now, spelled C-O-R-D-S?
Yeah, but electrical I mean, if cords? It's a department store...
Yeah.
Would you
could
know?
Could be jeans.
Right, corduroys.
Yeah.
Which I clarified as corduroy pants, and the one clerk had no idea what I was talking about. Never heard the word corduroy.
Oh. In a clothing store, the word corduroy eluded them somehow.
Oh, look at the call I'm getting. Oh, it said political call.
Oh.
It was...
Bet it's Buttigieg. He's in town.
What? That's
just check
so,
it
I've
in.
Never seen
Wendy,
it.
Wendy, it's Pete. I'm in town.
Political call it's that was
Arby's.
Coming in. I don't do politics. Someone said a few years ago before maps on the cell phone, I called a GameStop store to get to its location. It was a young guy who answered after trying a few things to find the location. I asked him if it was on the west or east side of the road, and he told me it depended on which direction I was going.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Okay, so here's something I've never learned.
What?
So let's say, you know, they're, when you're going down a street, on the right, on one side are the even number of addresses,
yes.
And on the left, right?
Yeah.
So if you're driving east or west, it must always be the odd on one side and the even on the other, right? But I've never learned which one would be automatic. I always have to look.
I have to look, too. I think
but
it varies.
But there must be. Why would it vary?
I don't know. This is too deep for me. The only way I know where east is, this is such a weird thing how we... I know John Williams does this because I remember all his phone numbers because he corresponds them to something.
Yeah.
The only way that I can remember which way is east is because the lake
is
east. And I think of it as, this is so stupid, but the river, East Street Band... East Lake.
Did you That's, come up with that? Or?
Yes, but I've never forgotten it because of that.
Oh.
I know it's really a stretch to get there, but I loved Bruce Springsteen at the time. I'm like, oh, the River album, the river's like the lake,
yeah.
East Street Band, so that's east. I've never forgotten since then.
I've told you my Kevin Manton, Spike Manton from radio, he and I were both in California doing stand-up together. And we got lost. We were in a car, and this is way before they had GPS systems. We were just flat-out lost in California. And then we come upon a sign that says beach and an arrow pointing at the beach, and he goes, well, now it's easy. There, it's the beach. It's east. And I go, oh, I don't think so. And he goes, yeah, the water's always east.
Oh,
I go, not always. If you're in Chicago, the water's east. We're on the West Coast. I think the water will be west. And he goes, mm-mm, water's always east.
Oh, my God. It's a wonder he got anywhere.
I know.
But I always do confuse that in L.A. I'm always thinking, well, that must be east. But...
Right, because there's the water.
Right.
Nope, the opposite.
Another text went to a party store for paper doilies to put under my cake, and the employee I asked looked like I was speaking a different language. Even after I explained their use, he still didn't understand. I found them myself.
Now, that's frustrating, right?
If you're working at a place that sells doilies, you should know what a doily is.
I would
is.
Imagine.
I think you get a pass on a doily.
Oh, come on.
Because Steve, are you saying that because they're not as plentiful as they once were?
Right.
Yeah.
And who asks for a doily?
Yeah.
Who puts a doily under a cake anymore?
A baker's do. Mary, have you ever put a doily under your fantastic chocolate cake you made?
No, not under cakes, but I have doilies all over my house that were handmade.
Okay, well, those are, like, really good.
Yeah, the lace doilies.
Right, this is just the paper one to put under a cake.
Yeah, well, sure. Well, I mean, whenever you buy one,
bakers
you
use them a lot, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Do you use what?
Doilies.
I just like hearing you say
doilies.
Wait,
are they called something else?
No, they're called a paper doily.
A doily.
That is a funny word.
A stupid word.
This kid goes home. He goes, Ma, some guy asked me for a doily.
I hope you punched him right in the head. Asking my kid for a doily.
Say, where's my doily? It is a funny word. And I'm blushing again. This is twice today I've blushed. And Bertrand made me twice.
Yeah, Steve, you lead the league.
I don't blush very easily.
Steve's our Christian Yelich.
I don't know who that is.
I don't either.
Who is it?
Milwaukee Brewers guy got his 30th home run last night.
Oh, I do know
best
that.
Best player in the world.
Yeah, in the world.
In the entire world. Yep. All right. We are going to take a break. It's a Tech Tuesday. Steve mentioned that I'm going to get a skin screening today.
Sorry, I didn't mean to mention that.
No, that's all right.
Very responsible of you to do, by the way.
I have some friends and I've known people who... Melanoma is a serious cancer.
Horrible.
And it is one of the most treatable ones if found early. And believe it or not, I'm freaking out a little bit because a friend has it. And so I had made an appointment. You need to as well.
I definitely need to. Do you get results immediately?
I don't know.
Take a while?
I thought I went before, but they didn't have me on record. That must have been somewhere else that I just had somebody with a spelunker's light.
A random stranger at Target came up to you?
That was a very interesting conversation, too, because I said, what's your name? Here's my name.
Yeah.
We don't have you on record. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I've done this before. I don't know.
Maybe
it was in college. I don't know.
Maybe. You have doilies on your examining card?
I don't know. But there is actually an app that you can get on your smartphone to check for skin cancer. I don't know how effective it is. We're going to find out more about it when we talk to Joan Salzman, who's filling in for all the pregnant ladies that we've talked to from CNET. So it's a Tech Tuesday. Interesting apps. I wonder how effective they are.
We'll find out.
All right. It's all coming up. It's right here, 720 WGN. Doily. So let's do a Tech Tuesday right now. And we've talked to Bridget Carey, who had her second baby. We've talked to Ashley Esqueda, who just had a baby.
We talked to the Octomom. She had a bunch of babies.
And I don't know. Joan Salzman is on the line with us. Are you pregnant or expecting or have kids? I just thought there's something in the water.
You don't have to answer, Joan. If you don't want to answer, you don't have to answer that.
No, it's fine. I have two kids. I have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, and no more on the way. So,
all right. Well, good. It's nice to talk to you. Joan Salzman's a senior writer for CNET. Totally love CNET. I've been checking it out for years and years. Every time I want to see a review of something, I go to CNET.com. And also Tech Stories. So it's a Tech Tuesday, and there's a solar eclipse going on that I was completely unaware of. How can I see it, and where is it?
Right. Well, to see it live, you have to be standing in a very sort of narrow strip of land in Argentina or Chile in South America. So if you don't happen to be there, there are ways to stream it live online. NASA is doing a live stream from a Chilean observatory, so you can get a telescopic view of it. There's also something called the Virtual Telescope Project that's giving you the chance to be able to see this eclipse that, you know, unlike the one in 2017 when there was eclipse fever, everybody in North America could pretty much get a view of a stunning eclipse. This one's much more limited, but there are these digital ways to still get a glimpse of it.
And I was just Googling it. I know the app is the best way to do it. There's an app to see it, but you can find it on the internet. Total darkness there. Did it already happen? Did we miss it?
No, so it's going to start around 2:20 p.m. Central Time, and as you know, eclipses take a period of time to get to that full eclipse where you have the circle and the diamond on the top, and so there'll be some coverage starting around, I believe starting around 2 p.m. at the beginning, going on through 3 p.m. and later.
All right, another thing we were talking about just before you came on the air, I'm going to get a skin screening at a dermatologist today. I'm a blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid who put baby oil on and no sunscreen when I was growing up. And they are saying that a lot of skin cancers are diagnosed from earlier damage in your life. Tell us about these apps now on your smartphone that can check for skin cancer. This is intriguing to me.
Right. So on CNET, we have some reviews of apps. What they do, you know, these aren't replacements for seeing a doctor.
Right.
That's really the best sort of screening that you can always get. But they are ways to help you with early detection and consistent self-exam so that you know when to go see a doctor if it seems like there's a higher risk and ask more informed questions. So these apps, most of them are free. Some of them are paired with a device that does have a cost, but most of them are free, might have in-app purchases. And generally what they do is they help you to often take photos of moles or other suspicious areas on your body, help you to compare them over time. A nice feature of one or two of them is that they separate the photos of your moles from your normal photos. So if someone's looking through baby pictures, they don't accidentally see all your moles.
Oh, it's the blob.
Right. Yeah, but they all kind of come back to this idea that they don't replace seeing a doctor, but do help you keep on top of your skin's health, especially considering that skin cancer is the most prevalent form of cancer in the United States.
It's estimated nearly 200,000 people will receive a melanoma diagnosis, and that is can spread to other parts of your body. Early detection is key, so I'm here to tell you, if you want to get the apps, that's cool, but go see a dermatologist. That's all I'm going to say. All right, there's a big event now coming up, and Apple is not having it. It's Samsung. What's going on in the world of the new phones?
Right. Samsung's Unpacked event is set. That's its annual big, splashy product launch that comes in late summer. It's going to be on October 7th this year in New York, and we're expecting to see their Galaxy Note 10, their latest version of their phablet, quote-unquote, style big screen phone.
Phablet, did you get that? Phone and Fablet. Tablet?
Love the name, Joan. Love the name.
And it's the phone-tablet hybrid.
And there was a suspicious package that was in the world of Facebook. Tell us this story.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is false alarm. But yesterday in the afternoon, actually, PT, it was late in the morning, a machine at Facebook's mail sorting facility got an alert of a toxic substance. The Menlo Park Fire District ran out. There was they evacuated four nearby buildings. It was a big to-do, but as it turns out, it was a false alarm. They thought it could be sarin, the highly destructive nerve agent, not sarin. Everything's fine. Go about your business.
People are getting annoyed with Facebook. I can tell you that much.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, that's a consideration. It wasn't. It was just a year ago that YouTube had an actual event similar to that. They had a shooting at their offices, and so it's definitely something where even a false alarm it raises some suspicions and concern.
All right, and there is some Apple news, and I am unclear about this Wall Street Journal report. Tell us this story.
Yeah, so the Wall Street Journal had a report about Johnny Ive and his departure. Johnny Ive has been the person who's designed these iconic products for Apple for years and years and years. He announced his departure earlier this week, but the Wall Street Journal had a report that said there had been growing tensions between Johnny Ive and Apple CEO Tim Cook, that there was distance between them, and that led to him being less of a leader, not as present of a leader for the design team at Apple. Tim Cook took the rare step of calling out this story and calling it untrue, but not in any specific points of the story, just generally saying that it didn't accurately represent the Apple that he knows.
And is he going on to start his own design thing with new phones and stuff?
Yeah, that's part of the intrigue of this reporting, is that Johnny Ive is leaving Apple, but he's going off to start his own company, which is going to have multi-million dollar contracts with Apple, so he'll continue to work with Apple. If there were some bad blood between executives or tension in management, it isn't stopping Johnny Ive to continue his work with Apple in the future.
Okay, and just before we got you on the air, I was getting an incoming call, and something I've noticed new on my phone is it said political call. So now it is labeling things that I'm getting. About a week ago, I got a call, and it said fraudulent call, a possibly fraudulent call. So this is something that never happened to me. Is this a new type of thing that's coming through to forewarn us and tell us not to answer? I know I just threw this on you, but I never saw political call before. Did you, Bill?
No, never. What does that mean?
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, but we do. But the carriers are becoming much more aggressive in labeling these suspicious, or in this case, it sounds like things that are political telemessaging, so that you know before you pick up. The main thrust for a lot of these sort of identifying features has been the robo-spam calling, because that's been such a blight upon anyone that has a cell phone. Everyone is experiencing it. It's exploding how many calls there are, just because there are machines that very easily can do these bot robocalls, and it's hard to track them. It's hard to enforce rules against them, and they're done at such a scale that it's kind of an impossible feat. The idea of being able to actually enforce the laws on the books that you can't have these spam calls. So the underlying impetus for this technology that will identify these calls has been these robocalls, but that's the first I've heard about like a political outreach call being identified, which I'm sure is going to be a welcome sight for a lot of people as we get into the 2020 election.
Yeah, I've never seen it before. And in fact, when I got the fraudulent call warning last week, dummy me almost answered it, thinking it was saying that someone has used my material and
for fraudulent
reasons. So I was going to answer to go, oh, and then I put two and two together.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about this, too, is people that do these robocalls change the number so it looks like your prefix and your area code. And
right.
I was just reading somewhere that some people were getting so irritated by these calls that they were calling the number back, and it was like an innocent person on the other line going, wait a minute, I didn't call you. So that's pretty bad.
Yeah, robocalls have gotten, the scope of how pervasive they are is kind of mind-boggling, but there are these, not only are carriers instituting some things on their end in order to identify them, because the best advice about robocalls is if you can, don't pick them up. When you pick up, that means whatever robocaller is using, they know that there's somebody on the other end, that there's a live human being, and they're not just going to some number out in the ether. The best thing to do is not pick up, but if you do, there are these ways now to know which calls that you don't automatically identify as being familiar. There are these new ways to identify them a little more readily. Carriers are doing, there's also apps that can alert you to what might be a fraudulent incoming call.
Well, good. It looks like they're going to start taking care of us. Joan, we appreciate you taking the time out today. Joan Salzman, senior writer for CNET. You can find her on Twitter. You can also find her at CNET.com. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care, Joan. All right, we'll get you some news later on. Tony Fulmer from the Chalet Nursery will be joining us. That's all ahead.
What does the rain gauge say?
Steve, what's your rain gauge reading?
It's waiting for the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on hold.
It's stuck in the ground.
Yeah.
It's going to rain every day from now till kingdom come, isn't it?
Oh, I hope you're wrong. That'd be awful. What happened to your house? I know you're a big White Sox fan and your husband Jimmy's a big White Sox fan. Let's say the Cubs were to lose a game to the Pittsburgh Pirates, I don't know, say 18-5. What's the feeling there at your house? Are you guys happy that they got trounced like that, or how do you guys feel?
We would probably go, boy, they got
beaten badly.
Yeah.
Very
badly. Too bad. That's what
Although,
we'd say.
I know it was 18-5, but the game was a lot closer than the score indicated, Wendy.
What?
The nail biter. Did you see what happened?
18-5, really?
18-5. Yeah.
That's a little embarrassing.
It was very embarrassing.
The White Sox had some bad games, too.
Yep.
But, I don't know, 18-5 seems way worse.
As tough as a game can be when the Cubs or White Sox lose it, the Mets are having an insane season. They're not living up to any expectations. The manager's head is on a platter. They're trying to get rid of the manager. Some of the pitchers have said some outlandish things. But over the weekend, they did a celebration. It's the 50-year anniversary of the 1969 Miracle Mets. So I don't know if you know the backstory, but it was a new team. The Mets were a new team in the 60s. Nobody expected them to do real well. The Cubs were leading the division by a long shot, and then the Mets just came out of nowhere, and they overtook the Cubs.
1959?
1969.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's the 50th anniversary. So to commemorate this, they just held a 50th anniversary celebration. And at the celebration, the Mets showed a montage of all the players that played for the 1969 Mets. And at the end of the montage, they did one of those in memoriam segments because, you know, it's 50 years ago. Some of those players have died.
I bet quite a few.
A couple of them did. So they show those players, and Jim Gosker was shown, and Jesse Hudson was shown, and they were given the respect that they so richly deserve. But then Jim Gosker and Jesse Hudson let it be known that they were very upset to be included in that montage because they're both very much alive.
Were they there?
No, they were not there. One of the guys, Jim Gosker, who played for the Mets, he had a 10-year career. I don't think he played them all for the Mets, but I could be wrong. But I know he played for 10 years. He says he wouldn't even pick, if the Mets were to call him right now to apologize, he would not even pick up the telephone.
Can I just say, in the time of the internet, there is no excuse for having this wrong now.
You could look it up and see if those guys were still with us or not, right? It's not hard to do that. Do 3 minutes. I know you got 25 guys on the team and you got coaches and a manager, so that's 31 or 32 guys. I get that. But spend the extra minute, do a little research, see if they have died or not before including them in a montage of players who have passed away.
I'm upset that he's so upset about it. Like, you know, if he could tweet something or do interviews and say, no, I'm good.
Right. Feeling fine.
I feel bad that he's upset about it.
Well, wouldn't you, like, step one is invite the guy to the thing.
Yeah.
You're having
a
big ceremony to commemorate these guys. Invite him. So if the mail comes back saying, sorry, but he's gone, then you go, all right, we'll throw him in the montage.
Well, I don't know about the Mets, but I know about me that I don't plan things far enough in advance to have sent an invitation.
Yeah.
And maybe they decided to throw this together fairly quickly. But again, you can go to deadoralive.com. You can just Google them to see.
Easy.
Yeah.
It's easy. Yes.
So I don't understand how that could happen with two people.
Yeah. You had two of the players. We're fine.
Is it worse
Feeling
if you
okay.
had passed away and they didn't include you in the memorial?
That's a great question.
Because I think that's worse.
Well, we always debate this anytime there's an Oscar or an Emmy Awards and they show the people because they always leave out four or five people. And you go,
I think they do it just so they get more talk.
A little press?
The next day.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
But I think that's worse if you did pass away to not be part of the memoriam.
Right. Right.
Yeah. In memoriam, I guess.
Right.
Or memorial.
I'm trying to remember who the baseball player was that was watching the Today Show one day. This was a famous story about 10 or 12 years ago. He was watching the Today Show and learned that he had died. They announced his death on national television, and he had to call them and say, I think I'm all right. I think I'm feeling okay.
And it wasn't a hoax or anything.
No.
Because I don't know who. I don't know. But I know there's this terrible news of this Angels pitcher, 27-year-old Tyler Skaggs. There
so sad.
Still is no determination. Police are saying it's no foul play. I was reading about it. His mother was a softball coach.
I think still is.
And really
California.
Kind of inspired him.
Yeah.
And 27 years old, they were getting ready to go to a game. Some players were on the bus. And then I don't know if there was no response in his room. And then they called.
He pitched on Sunday. He was
what
fine.
Happened?
He got married in December. He just got married.
He was found dead in his hotel room in Southlake, Texas. No further details about the cause of death are available at this time. I'm sure more will come out. And there was another player who was in Chicago who died. I don't remember who it was.
Another baseball player?
Yeah, they were here in town to play the Cubs. And
oh, a couple years ago,
yeah.
You mean?
Young again, and I think they did find out that it was some kind of heart issue.
Right.
That's the thing. You don't know you have a heart issue till it's too late sometimes.
I know. To the credit of the team, the California Angels, and to Major League Baseball, they did not play. The Angels didn't play yesterday, and they said they didn't think they were going to play today. I give them credit for that.
Yeah,
it's a lot of jockeying of schedules and things, but think about it. If you're a young player, a friend of this guy on the team, the last thing on your mind is playing a game when something so tragic happens. 27 years old.
Yeah, I'm
horrible.
Sure more information will come on out,
come out
on that as it happens. All right, we need to take a quick break. If you have gardening questions, I'm just going to put this out here now because Tony Fulmer's coming in and he loves to take questions. I feel like we have not given him an abundance of calls. So gardening questions, it's just been so crazy with this rain.
And colder weather.
Yeah.
It stayed a little colder longer
I
than
guess,
it normally
yeah.
does.
I know that like the weeds have grown better than anything else because of all the rain.
That's good news.
I'm halfway finished weeding. I've really let things go.
Yeah. You'll be scolded by Tony Fulmer in 15 minutes.
Every time he comes in, he has to scold me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but Tony Fulmer's coming up after the 11:30 news, so get your questions ready for him. We'll take a break. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
Wendy, I quickly have to thank a lot of listeners and Andy Mazur, our own Andy Mazur, who just sent me a text. Daryl Kyle was the pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals who had passed away while in Chicago, a very young guy. We also lost Lyman Bostock, who was a member of the Angels. He was in a shooting incident in Indiana when he was playing here. And Thurman Munson, the Yankee great, the catcher, played his last game at White Sox Park and then was flying a private plane and got into an airplane crash and died.
Jeez. But at least we have answers to those questions.
Right. This one's a little more mysterious right now.
But more will come out later. When I think of movies, I pretty much think of you. when I think of music trivia, I think of me, although you're surprisingly pretty good at that, too.
Oh, thank you.
But the movies, these are iconic roles that were almost played by other actors.
Oh.
And some of these you have brought up to me.
Yeah.
And I just want to see if maybe you would know some of these.
All right.
Before Emma Stone was cast as Mia in La La Land, there was another person who was originally offered the part. Do you have any idea?
I don't know who that would be.
A different Emma. Emma Watson.
Oh,
she turned it down. She turned down the role for another musical, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, they're both very talented. I think either would have done a good job there.
Emma Stone went on to win Best Actress Oscar for that role. She was pretty great in La La Land.
I love that movie.
All right, in the movie Titanic,
yes,
the character Rose was played by Kate Winslet.
Yes,
it was offered to someone else prior.
Rue McClanahan. She should.
I wouldn't have gone to see that movie.
You wouldn't have seen
no.
it? Oh, she's so good. She was great.
No.
I don't know who that would have been.
Gwyneth Paltrow revealed in a 2015 interview with Howard Stern that she turned down the role of Rose in James Cameron's Titanic, and she turned down the role in Boogie Nights that eventually went to Heather Graham.
Oh, wow.
I think two pretty big mistakes.
Huge mistakes.
Those I hope were Goop is going well.
It is. But still, when you see the hit that Titanic became,
I know.
You got to be kicking yourself.
And to see the prosthetics in Boogie Nights would
right.
have been pretty fun.
So true.
Roller Girl, was that what Heather Graham
yes,
was?
Yes, that was her
That's
character.
A pretty good movie.
Really fun movie.
And Gwyneth Paltrow, I just, I love Jon Favreau. I love that movie, Chef, that he was in. Just loved it. And he now has the Chef Show, which is a show that he is doing
mm-hmm.
with the actual chef who helped him learn how to cook for the movie Chef.
Yeah.
And Gwyneth Paltrow was just on an episode, and they made stuff that was vegetarian because that's what she is, and she was in there cooking with them. And then they also had an episode where Robert Downey Jr. was with them, not cooking, but they
right.
went out to eat.
Yeah.
And Tom Holland, the guy who played
Spider-Man.
Spidey. So they were all, it's just a really cute, good cooking show, and celebrities are coming on. It's such a great idea.
Why don't people like Gwyneth Paltrow? What's going on there?
She
I
does
always
nothing
like her.
For me.
Almost everyone I know.
I don't.
Every time you see her, they're like, oh, why? She's good.
Good at what?
She's a good actress. She can sing.
Meh.
Yeah?
Meh.
Really?
I just,
M-E-H,
I don't.
You say to Gwyneth Paltrow,
yeah,
you say that to her?
I don't have feelings, strong feelings either way. I have no feelings.
Almost everyone I know is like that with her. I think she's pretty good.
Mm.
No? All right.
No, I'm not saying that. Somebody who nearly played Michael Corleone.
Oh, there's, well.
Now I knew I would open up the floodgates with
you. There's a couple
you.
Of names that have come up. But they're saying there's one specific guy.
Yeah, in a 2004 interview with Movie Line, this particular actor said he turned down the role of Michael Corleone.
You got to tell me. Who is it?
Jack Nicholson.
That wouldn't have been good. I like
I don't
Jack
think
Nicholson,
so either.
But there's no way.
I agree with you. Back then, this is what Nicholson said. Back then, I believed that Indians should play Indians and Italians should play Italians.
Oh.
That was 2004.
He would have played it as an Indian, do you think? That would have been an interesting move.
There were a lot of actors who could have played Michael, myself included, but Al Pacino was Michael Corleone. I can't think of a better compliment to him. He was the best.
The interesting thing there is that no one really knew who Al Pacino was at the time.
Is that true? That's one of
famous.
His major roles?
He had only done a couple of very small movies before The Godfather, and no one really believed in him. The movie company didn't want him.
He was
but
so
Coppola
good.
Demanded. He goes, oh, that's the guy. We got to go with him. He really was good. And that's before, like, when you see Al Pacino in a movie now,
he's a wackadoodle.
He's big. He's really big.
What are you saying? He's crazy.
I know. But that back then, he
so
was a
subtle.
More subdued... Yeah, he's so perfect in the role.
He was... I can't even imagine anyone else
no,
playing that role.
That's only him.
Certainly not Jack Nicholson.
Mm-mm.
All right, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
To play Ferris Bueller?
Yes. There was a star that was originally offered
was
the
Was it Michael
role.
J. Fox?
No, but he would have been good.
He would have been good,
except
right?
wasn't that around the time of the Back to the Future, so I don't
yeah.
think he could have done
both.
Both,
no.
Johnny Depp.
Boy, that's a tough one.
Yes, Ferris Bueller's Day Off could have had a much different tone. Pirates of the Caribbean star Johnny Depp was originally offered the role of the 1986 comedy before turning it down due to scheduling conflicts. Matthew Broderick was great.
He was really good, right? That's a tough one. I would almost need to see footage to see how he would have played the role.
All right, I can arrange
you
that.
You got some footage?
You want it sent to your email?
Yes, send it to me.
Forrest Gump.
Oh.
Tom Hanks did it spectacularly, but in fact, that pretty much catapulted him to stardom, according to this Variety. The role almost went to this actor, although he has said that passing on the film was one of the biggest mistakes of his career.
Vin Diesel.
Oh, my God.
Diesel is Gump.
That would have been terrible. Although, I don't know, would it have been?
It's like a box of chocolates.
That might have been funnier. John Travolta.
I don't see it.
I don't either.
I like John Travolta, but that would not have been good.
No, Tom Hanks was perfect.
Yep.
But so Travolta said that was one of his biggest mistakes of his career. He did then that same year star in Pulp Fiction.
I always used to think that if I had to name a movie that was impossible to not like, that would be the movie. Like I would go, well, you can't not like Forrest Gump. But over the years, I've met so many people who just, they roll their eyes. They're like, oh, Forrest Gump, please. I don't know how you can't like that movie.
I don't either.
It's got everything.
Okay, this was also in La La Land. Ryan Gosling had the role of Sebastian.
Yes. Was somebody else supposed to play it?
Yeah.
Sebastian Cabot. He died. Sadly, he passed away.
They
were going to put him in digitally. Oh, he would have been so good.
Miles Teller had landed the role.
I like Miles Teller.
That's the Not My Tempo, right?
Yeah.
What's that? Whiplash?
Whiplash.
He's really good in that. Miles Teller had landed the role that would eventually go to Ryan Gosling and was reportedly considering dropping War Dogs in order to appear in La La Land when he got the call then that they were going to pass on him.
I just read that Miles Teller might be playing Elvis Presley. They're doing do you know who Buzz Lerman is?
No.
The director? He's doing a movie about Elvis Presley, and they've narrowed it down to Miles Teller and one or two other actors.
Miles Teller looks like Elvis. He could be a young Elvis.
I think
Elvis.
He could, right?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
All right, and finally, I'm going to give it away by saying this. Okay, Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts, nailed the role.
Yes.
As Vivian Ward.
She was really good.
She was a pretty woman with a heart of gold. It could have gone to someone that you could have dated.
Lillian Gish.
What? No. Someone that you were given her number. And
Molly Ringwald.
Yes. Phil worked at a video store, and Molly Ringwald was in town. Was it filming Pretty in Pink?
What movie was it? Yeah, I think it was Pretty in Pink.
Or Breakfast Club?
Breakfast Club.
All right.
That's right.
And
there was a paramedic who worked on the movie with her and was telling me about her. And then I said, oh, yeah, I saw her in a movie once. I really like her. She was a young up-and-coming actress. Nobody really knew who she was. But I saw her in a John Cassavetes movie. And he
That's
said,
a good opening line.
I know. I used to try that on all girls. Excuse me, weren't you in a John Cassavetes movie?
While wearing your Fonzie t-shirt.
Never failed. And a couple days later, this guy came back and he handed me a piece of paper with a phone number on it. And it was her phone number. He goes, yeah, I told her about you and that you're a big fan of her work in John Cassavetes movies. And she wants you to give her a call. But I've not used the number yet.
You still have it,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, I still have it. We'll see how things go.
All right. Well, she could have been Vivian Ward. And she said during an interview back in 2012, she was offered the role. But before it eventually went to Julia Roberts, she said the script was okay, but I got to say Julia Roberts is what makes that movie.
I'm so glad she said that because it would have been easy for her to be bitter about it, but she wasn't. She admits that Julia Roberts was perfect for it.
I admit that Tony Fulmer is perfect for us, and Tony from the Chalet Nursery is waiting in the PPG Paints green room right now. He will be on with us after the 11:30 news, which is coming up next here on 720 WGN.
Wendy, one of our favorite guests is here, Tony Fulmer, who, by the way, was not the original choice to play Tony Fulmer. Tony Shalhoub was originally going to play the role. Tony took it over. Tony, of course, from the Shelley Nursery in Wilmette. Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm terrific.
Nice to see terrific. You.
I thought that Ryan Reynolds was one of the top
there were
candidates.
Yes, there was some talk that Ryan Reynolds would play you.
That would certainly be an upgrade for me, for Tony Fulmer, that's for sure.
The Shelley Nursery is 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette. What's it near, Bill?
Well, it's right across the street from Panda Express, Wendy.
Yeah.
Get some orange chicken and then visit the Chalet Nursery.
ChaletNursery.com. We had mentioned that you were going to be on with us today, and we said if you had any questions to call, because you like taking calls.
Sure.
And I'll tell you right now, Mary has been dying to talk to you. So Mary has called 312-981-7200. There's going to be an echo here.
Okay.
So, Mary, you have a question for Tony?
I do, and it's about milkweed. Thanks for taking my call. I planted some roots, milkweed root, in pots.
Okay.
And they're growing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what to do with them during the winter time.
So your intention is to use this as a potted plant all the time? You're not going to transplant them out to the garden?
I'm in a senior community, and I don't know if they'll let me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, then a situation like that, Mary, you need to find someone. Maybe a family member has a garage or an unheated shed or a window well where you can store those containers over the winter. But you have to allow them to go dormant in the fall, and then you have to keep them cold over the winter and keep them dormant.
Do I cut them back?
Oh, absolutely. Well, they'll die back. So, yes, you'll just go ahead and cut them back once they go dormant and look brown and terrible.
Good luck.
Well, I thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
I didn't know what to do with them.
Well, good luck.
Thank you so very much. And I think about a lot of people in the senior communities. They miss gardening, I'm sure.
That's going to be me probably next year. I don't know.
Are you a year away?
Hopefully a few years more than that.
All right. We went from polar vortex to like the Poseidon Adventure. It has been raining every day and is going to continue probably throughout all of the summer.
Yes.
My grass looks pretty lush and green.
But other things
the weeds have just taken over. So what is all this rain doing with our plants out there?
Well, the first thing that we're seeing is plants look like they have nutrient deficiencies. Everything looks yellow or everything looks like it has an iron deficiency. And that's because the soil is so saturated that plants need, the root system needs oxygen to take up nutrients. And when those spaces in the soil that should have oxygen in them don't, then they can't take up water and they can't take up nutrients appropriately. So they start showing all of these different symptoms that look like nutrient deficiency. And the big thing is a lot of plants are dropping their lower leaves and they're just turning yellow and dropping off. And that's the plant trying to balance, you know, it's nature trying to find a way, I can't sustain these leaves. This plant was in trouble when these leaves were produced, so I've got to send all of my energy up to the new leaves. So there's a lot of that, and that's just a function of plants that are waterlogged.
So not enough water is bad, and too much water is bad.
That's right. And the problem is you get wilting in both cases, and that confuses people. My plant is wilted, so I gave it more water, but it didn't perk up. If that's the case, if a plant is wilted, you water it, and it doesn't, the leaves don't come back up, it doesn't become turgid again, then the plant is already floating, basically.
I did not plant tomatoes again this year because I was a little late getting started.
How are you going to can this year?
The film festival, Wendy. How will you get there? Your film about tomatoes won't ever be made.
That would be a good... I would watch that.
The documentary the world has been waiting for.
I will help people.
Right.
But I didn't plant again. Just, again, the puppy in the yard. Every time I try to weed, he is there with me.
When is this dog going to grow up?
I don't know. He's a year and a half. It's part border collie and part retriever.
Oh,
they say 2 years.
Okay.
He's a puppy for a little while longer. But did I miss out by not planting tomatoes this year with all this rain? Or are people having trouble with all this rain?
Well, virtually everything is weeks behind. So I look at my own garden and most things went in at least 2 weeks late. And then even when you were able to kind of get them in the garden, it was still so wet that a lot of plants just sat there. And if they didn't die or they didn't regress, they didn't really grow. So now with all this moisture, if the plants aren't floating, this kind of heat is really bringing along the tropical things. So things like tomatoes and peppers, the things that really like heat now, they have more than adequate moisture. So they're going to really be growing and they're really going to be catching up. But then there are also all the opportunistic diseases that could be coming along with all this moisture, with the leaves never drying out.
Speaking of diseases, I don't know if this is one, but Nancy has a question.
Okay.
Hi, Nancy. Tony Fulmer's
here.
Hi, Nancy.
Hello. Every year on my zucchini and cucumber, I get, it looks like a rotting of the stem towards the ground. And I'm not sure if it's a beetle or whatever it is. And what can I do about it?
Well, there is a borer that will get in the stem right at ground level. And what you can do to look for that is you can take a knife on one of the plants that's showing symptoms, and you just make a slit in there, and you look for the offending insect.
Oh, it usually doesn't come until later in the season, though. Like, I don't have any, fruit now.
Right.
So it comes later?
It comes a little bit later, yes. Because you're saying your plants aren't symptomatic yet.
Right.
You're right.
And no, I'm not sure when the borer gets in there. Is it now? Or is it later?
No, it'll be the plants usually are much farther along, and especially if you have, instead of having bush types and you have long running ones, usually the vines are 6 or 8 feet long before you see it. It's later in the summer.
Right, right. Okay.
But it'll be right at ground level. You'll see an opening in the stem.
Yeah.
And so you cut it open, there'll be a little borer in there.
And what do you do? Just take it out?
Bite its head off. Right, Tony? You bite its head off.
Well, you have to know that you've had it in the past, so you treat preventatively, so the following year really is the
And what do you use thing. To treat?
Oh, I never make chemical recommendations over the phone.
Okay. All right, well, you can call him, Nancy. Good luck to you. Mary has a question about dogwood plants, and before we talk to more, Mary, I would like to ask you to be in my tomato documentary.
I'm in.
You will bite the head off a borer.
You can show that on film. I'm ready for that, yeah.
All right, Mary Ann, Tony Fulmer.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about dogwood.
Okay.
I have some, and it seems like they are wilting. We came back from Florida earlier in the year, and it seemed like they were all dying. And I see a lot like that around the neighborhood and in the areas, and I was wondering, is there a disease or something going on with them?
Is this a shrub-form dogwood or a tree-form dogwood?
This is like the
red twig dogwood. Is this a shrub form dogwood or a tree form dogwood?
Okay. It is a shrub.
Okay,
yeah.
So like a red twig dogwood.
Yeah.
Okay. Are these plants that are in really 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 wet locations?
No, they're under the eave in my house, and it's really dry. Sometimes I think maybe it's too dry.
Okay, well, there is that. That plant is on everybody's list for really, really, really damp soils, so that may be a stress situation to have it under an overhang like that. What I would look for is if the plant is wilting suddenly, the first thing I would look for is they get canker diseases. And cankers can be caused by either bacterial or fungal organisms, but it's a function of stress. So in this case, it could be a plant that likes a moist soil being inordinately dry all the time. But if you look at that, look up and down the stems, especially lower, you may find really defined lines of demarcation that are 4 to 6 inches long that are brown or black, and if you have those cankers on there, the tissue that conducts water and nutrients has been affected, and that will cause the plant to wilt.
Oh, good. I will definitely check him out, and thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you, Marianne. We need to take a break. There are more questions for you.
Lots of questions.
The cankers got you all worried.
Yeah,
off to the free clinic with
you. Jolted.
I know. That takes me back to sex ed in high school or something.
Yeah.
Learning about those.
Okay.
That was a shanker anyway, isn't it?
I think it was, Wendy. Yeah. Dogwood used to be married to Blondie. All right, we'll be back we'll be back with more Tony Fulmer. Your questions at 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Tony Fulmer is here, Chief Horticultural Officer at Chalet Nursery. You can go to chaletnursery.com, or you could go to 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette. Rose of Sharon question.
Okay.
I could not kill these before. They were in beautiful shape, and then I think they got polar vortexed. Completely dead. They're in the very middle. It's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
In the very middle, you can see new growth.
Right. Right.
But what do I have to dig this up and chop it down?
Well, Wendy, that gets to a matter of aesthetics. So I'm going to start selling T-shirts. I'm trying to suggest that we sell T-shirts that say "Dead is dead."
Dead is dead.
Dead is dead. And so, you know, I think that plant is probably much more marginally hardy than it's given credit for. So I really feel like we're at the northern limit of its hardiness. So when it gets 10 to 15 to 20 to 25 to almost 30 below for sustained periods of time, the fact that that plant is alive at all is a little bit surprising to me. And that would indicate that maybe it's in a fairly protected location. So, you know, your choice is by now. Whatever's dead on there, you need to prune out, and then you have to make an assessment about, can I live with a plant that is, you know, a foot tall
and
3 feet wide, and gosh knows.
It's dead to me.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
You hate to hear that, Tony. But it's true. You have to move on.
Yeah. And with the T-shirts, we will have black
dead
bands.
Dead is dead.
Dead is dead. Right.
Yep. Some planting questions about grass. Lauren's on the line. Hi, Lauren.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. We recently took down a choke cherry tree that had a fungus, and we have decided to plant grass there.
Okay.
And the grass came up beautifully, and then it just started to die, little patches of it, and now it's all died. And I'm wondering if it's because the mulch from the choke cherry with the fungus, could that have spread to that new grass?
No, what you had on your choke cherry was black knot gall, and that is very specific for things in the cherry family. So that has nothing to do with it. My question would be is, if this was a big tree or a fairly large tree, and that was the stump ground out, or was it dug out? And my guess is
it was ground out.
Okay, and were those chips removed? Or were those just incorporated into the soil where you planted the grass?
Incorporated into the soil.
Yeah,
and then we spread topsoil.
Can't do that. Can't do that.
Okay.
Because what's happening now is that wood is starting to decompose.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people believe that when you have that decomposition of those bark chips in that area, then the soil microbes are taking nitrogen from the soil. They're robbing nitrogen to help break those chips down. So that's probably what's happening. That's why that grass is collapsing. So really, in a perfect world, you probably need to excavate all that, put topsoil in there. And anytime you start new grass, always, always, always use a starter fertilizer. Do not omit that step. That's hugely important. And just know that the very best time, if you're going to do any kind of major lawn renovation, it's coming up. It'll be August 15th to September 15th.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Very good. Someone has texted, how do I know when my wisteria is dead? Small sprouts on bottom of the plant. The rest looks dead. Kind of what you said.
It's exactly the same thing as the Rose of Sharon.
August 15th to September 15th is grass planting season.
That is the nature's optimal time to do any kind of lawn renovation. Absolutely.
All right. Lee has a question. Lee, this is Tony Fulmer.
Hi, Lee.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Yes, I have a candy cane hydrangea.
Okay.
And it was blooming beautiful. Billions of stems, and my landscapers trimmed them off. And I was wondering, will it grow back new stems for the blossoms this year, or is it through?
When did they cut it back?
Yesterday, Saturday.
Oh, that's not good. No,
I know it's not hard.
No.
It really made me mad.
Yes, so get after them. But probably this late in the season now, your best hope is that that plant is going to rejuvenate and regrow and regenerate and at least make a foot or 18 inches of leaves and stems. I always like to think of leaves as little solar panels.
Yeah,
and so they need those leaves right now to be making food and storing food for next year for that plant. So you should absolutely this late. You should not expect flowers. And the hope is that you can get that plant to regrow so that you have something to go through the winter.
If not, I would get a hold of that landscaping company and have them reimburse you.
I did, honey. I did.
All right.
The bush was 6 foot high.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. All right. Thank you very much, then.
Okay. Good luck.
Thanks,
Lee. Why would a landscaper do that, Tony? It seems out of character.
Oh, you don't want me to answer that.
No?
For the people, there's so many people out there that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so this is a story that we hear all the time.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yes.
Bill, Wendy, and Tony, good show. Is there a way to get rid of a mulberry bush that keeps coming back? Thanks, Linda.
Well, you have to go round and round the mulberry bush, Tony, don't you? I mean, that's the best approach.
Actually, you do with an axe and a spade, and you dig it out.
Is that right?
So the idea that you just cut it off, that it's not going to regrow, a mulberry is one of the most tenacious survivors out there. And so whenever a mulberry is dropped in my yard, I always dig it out.
One more question, and that's all we have time for. It's a fertilizer question. Dave is on the line. Dave, Tony Fulmer from the Chalet Nursery.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Tony. Hey, I've got some victims here from this past winter. Got that bush, blueprints, blue princess, holly, also climbing hydrangea. They're all sparsely leafing. I started feeding them with Miracle-Gro right away, liquid form.
Okay.
Trying to get them to jump. The holly are starting to respond.
Okay.
The burning bush and the climbing hydrangea, they're just sort of sitting there idling. They've got some leaves on them, but maybe only 10%.
Okay.
At this point. What's your recommendation?
On the hollies, I would switch over. You always have to remember, I love the analogy that these water-soluble fertilizers like Miracle-Gro or Miracid, they're a little bit like the Snickers candy bar. It's the quick sugar rush. And so it's not sustained growth. So I would rather see you use something like, we really like the Holly Tone, which is a 4-3-4 fertilizer, and it's earth-friendly, and it's a very slow, sustained feed. So you could still make an application of that this year, and you could do that on the burning bush, and also it's what I would call a do-no-harm fertilizer. So you could put that on all the plants that you mentioned, but again, it's that thing where by the time you prune out the dead on the climbing hydrangea and you prune out the dead on the burning bush, do you have something that aesthetically you can, you think it has the potential that you can live with it a year from now?
Yeah, I was still holding my breath because it's still green under
No. That goes back to the dead is dead t-shirt. but, we're in July. If you are not seeing leaves on there by now, it's not going to happen, Dave.
That's what I was afraid of.
Yep.
Hey, thanks for your help.
You're
sorry
welcome.
For your loss, Dave. Mm. And somebody says I should just cut back the dead stuff on the Rose of Sharon. It's very hardy, grows super fast. Just prune it and let the growth take over. I could try that, huh?
You can do anything. The question is, do you want to wait for that? So, because when you cut the top out like that, you've got this flat, broad plant.
Yeah, I guess.
So
it's not going to be aesthetically pleasing.
It's going to be different. It's going to be very different. So it's all about
abstract.
About judgments. Yeah, it's about the judgment, what you can live with and rather than replant.
Final text, is it too late to plant tomatoes for people who haven't done it yet?
No. I would just look for varieties that have a shorter date to maturation.
Like early girls?
Yep. Exactly. And get them in as soon as you can.
Tony, always great to see you. Tomorrow's your birthday. Happy
it
birthday.
Thank
we're
you.
Having
happy
a big shindig at Chuck E. Cheese for Tony. Wendy, if you want to come out, we're going to have unlimited
ski
ball.
No panda?
No panda tomorrow. It's your birthday.
Oh, okay.
Do something special.
Okay.
Go see Tony Fulmer at the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. It's always great to have you on, Tony.
It's always my pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Coming up, the stories that matter with Jen DeSalvo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening here, 720 WGN.